Well, hello, wherever you're watching around the world today, throughout the week, and in the house. Hello to the right side of the room. Oh, I got some. Yes. Left. Yes. Had some awesome worship. Listen, if you aren't here in person, you are missing out on the sights, sounds, and smells of a wonderful breakfast. Make plans to be here. If not, we're going to get a U-Haul truck, and we're going to come grab you. We used to call that back in the day a gorilla grab. We're going to come grab you and throw you in here. It's going to be great. Don't worry. It's going to be fun. We're going to make place for you. We've got chairs for you. We are ready to go. So we would love to invite you as we continue to worship the Lord. We have awesome worship every week as we just had, and we've been celebrating Jesus Christ, our Savior. And what we've been walking through in this series, Summer in the Prophets, as the title would indicate, we've been in the Old Testament prophets. So we started out with the prophet Samuel. We learned a little bit from Daniel. We were in Isaiah. We're going to be wrapping up Jeremiah today. And then we're going to be in Ezekiel the next 2 weeks. So go ahead if you are ready and get to your Bible to Jeremiah 31. We're only going to be in 4 verses today. It's going to take me 5 hours to get through it. It's going to be great. So I'm so glad you are here. I hope you're settled in. You brought a pad for the chair that you're sitting in. But for real, we're going to be in Jeremiah, and it's something I was so... We had an awesome baby dedication last week, and we got to celebrate that. And we were in the prophet Jeremiah learning something new. And so as we're going to Jeremiah 31 today, we're going to see a shift. And actually, last week, there was a shift. In Jeremiah 29, God shifts. He's warning Israel, hey... Judah, actually, if you don't follow me, if you don't confess and repent, you're going to go into exile. God, knowing that they're going to go into exile, now shifts from the warning to his promise. And that's what we're going to see in Jeremiah 31. So as you're getting to Jeremiah 31, we say it all of the time. If you'd like a Bible, we have them free for the asking. Our Vine production team's incredible. They're going to make sure that it's on the screen wherever you're watching around the world. Thank you, Zach, for doing that every week. I know I say that every week, but thank you, Zach. We say production team, holding it down. Thank you for getting those each and every week set up for us. You can follow along with us for free on our Vine Church app. Go to thevine.tv/app. You can get that today. See sermon notes, connect, and pray with us. And throughout the week, we would love to pray with and for you. So if you want to go ahead and get there, I got a question for us before we dive into what we know. Today, we're going to be learning through They Will All Know Me. They will all know me. It is like one of my favorite Darth Vader phrases. Even though he probably didn't say that, that's kind of how he felt. Like, you know, when Obi-Wan comes down, like, you know, Padme's there and he's just like, sees Obi-Wan being a jerk. I think Darth would have caved in if it was just, anyway, we won't open that wound. Wherever you are right there, we live that life thinking that they will all know me. If you were to ask let's just be real, a teenager, what their goal in life would be, they will all know me. Like in a social media world, like, is this not it? Like, I'm going to be famous, right? Like, we want to be famous. Wherever we are, we want to be famous. We want everyone to know us. And then somewhere in our life, something changes. We hit a roadblock. We hit a bump, a season. We hit relationship issues, and we look for something called a reboot, don't we? Like, how many folks love reboots? We're in the first year of school, the first week of school here, and most technology is about to break down. If you're in customer service, what's the first thing they tell you to do? Reboot the computer. Why don't you want to reboot your computer? Let's be real. Why? Data loss, right? You feel like you're going to lose your data. You've tried everything you can. Reboot means run over it with a car a lot of times. Sometimes if you throw it off the roof, it actually does work better, I promise. So wherever you are, reboot. We all need a reboot. We love reboots. This is what God is doing with Israel, Judah. We say the nation of Israel. Israel's already been taken over by the Assyrians. They need a reboot. A couple of weeks ago, we laid the groundwork. They weren't following what's called the Mosaic Covenant. Now, really quick to catch you up on that. Long story short, that's the Ten Commandments, right? Like, we know the Ten Commandments. Know God before your God. Don't make carved images. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Put me on the spot here. Keep the Sabbath holy. Honor your father and mother. Do not steal. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. And what's the last but not least? Don't covet your neighbor. So those 10 things, right? Like those 10 things. God said, hey, if you'll keep those, and when you break them, bring an offering or sacrifice, I will be in direct relationship with you and be held. You will be righteous. You can be in right relationship with me. Israel, like us, couldn't live up to that. And if we're completely honest, the Ten Commandments are there. We can't live up to it now. It's actually something that God has given us to drive us to Jesus. And that is where Judah is. All the way through, the kingdom is split. They're fighting over taxation. And God says, okay, we all like reboots. It's time for a reboot. It's time for a reboot. This Mosaic covenant, it's time for a reboot. My promise is still real. The covenant will be fulfilled, but Judah, you aren't going to be able to fulfill it. And so that's where we're going to pick up in Jeremiah 31. And that's what I want us to dive into. And we're going to see where "they will all know me" comes from here. So if you've got your Bible, go to Jeremiah 31, verse 31 and 32 says this. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah." So once again, we've been talking about Judah. Israel's the northern kingdom. It's already been sacked. They've already been taken into exile. Judah is about to be going into Babylonian exile. And he says he's going to make a new covenant. "It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord." So God's covenant. When God looks at this, if you've ever read the book of Hosea, we are like Gomer. We are like the prostitute. What that means is, that don't mean you go out and prostitute today. What it means is we've turned our back on God, all right? We've turned our back on God. We decided that, we're going to learn here in a little bit, we've decided that we know better than God. In our sinful nature, we have turned our back on God. God continually has this image of us in a right relationship with Him, and it is a marriage where, hey, in a marriage, what happens? Let me ask you this, married couples. When your spouse doesn't do anything at all in the marriage covenant, how does that make you feel? I mean, like, does nothing to uphold, like, I don't know how many times you got a hint to clean out the dishwasher. You've left the door open. You threw the dog in there. You put a dirty baby diaper in there. You did everything you can, and the dishwasher never gets emptied, right? Okay, that makes you feel. So imagine that on a grander scale when your very creator does that too. You do that to your very creator. That's where God is. And He's saying, hey, this ain't working out. But instead of divorcing you, I'm going to make a way for us to be in a right relationship. I'm going to reboot this covenant the right way. And He's going to point to Jesus in this. So the first thing I want you to know when it comes to "they will all know me" is God has a plan for you. Now, I know we just talked about this last week, and we went through baby dedication, and this is going to sound super simple what we're going to walk through today in terms of points. But it's going to make sense at the end, I promise. God has a plan for you. Right now, many of us may not believe God has a plan for them. You look at what your life is and you're just like, if this is God's plan for me, I definitely need a reboot today, because this ain't it. This is not, if you were to go back to me, high school graduate, first year in college, wherever you are, this is not what I would have imagined my life would be. Maybe that's where you are, and you doubt that God has a plan for you. That's why He's having you listen today, because Israel was in the same place. Their plan was just to be free from Egyptian slavery and just build up their barns and it just be filled. Just living life on the beach. You know what I mean? They were just, that was it. They were just ready to go. That's what was supposed to happen, because they were born of Abraham. It was supposed to be easy. But the problem is, they had something that they were supposed to do in this relationship to follow God, and it was to follow the Ten Commandments, and they didn't. So sometimes that God has a plan for you, but sometimes you just need to reboot to get in line with it. More on that in a little bit. So here was the old plan that Israel had. Follow the Ten Commandments, and they will be set apart from God. But the lesson is, as we've said, they could never keep the Ten Commandments, nor could we. But God, instead of divorcing us, said, hey, I'm going to make a way for us to be made right. So when we talk about God having a plan for your life, the reason many struggle with it not only is because its expectations may not be what you thought it was, but many, we rehash a little bit of Thursday, just to be honest with you, because I was getting ready for this. Two stories from Thursday night Greenhouse. I don't want to share right now because we're in Romans 8 right now. John Stuart Mill is a philosopher, and he said, the reason we may not believe God has a plan for our life, John Stuart Mill said that either God is good and not powerful, or God is powerful and not good. And the reason for that is because evil is in the world. Either God is good and not powerful because He didn't stop evil. He didn't stop that bad thing from happening to me. Or God is all powerful and could have stopped the bad thing from happening to me, and it still did, so He therefore isn't good. So the problem with that is where Israel is, Israel was in that boat. They were trying to figure out if God was all powerful or God was good, but what was left out was the sin, the brokenness, the evil inside of us that was left out. That is where Israel was, as they forgot themselves. They thought, well, if God has a plan for me, His plan just must be to take me from Egypt, set me free, and everything's supposed to be easy. I shouldn't have to pay for anything. I shouldn't have to do everything. I should be living the good life. And God said, no, 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 no. There's something more for you in store. You are my people, set apart. And so they fought against that. And they failed time and time again, as we fail time and time again. And what I want you to know, when you know God has a plan for your life, is regardless of what you think is a failure, is what God uses. God uses to show you how he is making and molding you to be who he created you to be. That's what Romans 8 is about. That's what we're walking through. Last but not least, when it comes to that, the second story I said I would share with you is Greek mythology. I don't know when they teach that. I learned this in sixth grade, I think it was. I don't know when they teach mythology anymore. I think it's sixth grade. Okay, sixth grade. Greek mythology, there's this guy named Sisyphus. Really cool name, probably not something you want to name your kid. But basically, Sisyphus cheats death twice. And so, in Greek mythology, Zeus punishes him by taking a rock and rolling it up a hill. Just to get to the top of the hill, the rock rolls back down. And so Sisyphus puts all of his effort to going up and down the hill with this, putting all the rock at the top, hoping that it's going to stay that time, only to have it roll down. Why am I sharing that when it comes to God having a plan for our life? The worst place you can be is like Sisyphus. Sisyphus, life was meaningless. If you were pushing that rock up a hill, don't you think it'd be meaningless just for it to fall back down? See, God says your life is not meaningless. I have a plan and a purpose for you. Even if you can't see it, you're not pushing a rock up a hill when it comes to following Jesus. The work has been done. So would you trust that? So today, wherever you are, I want you to know God has a plan for you. The second thing I want you to know, verse 33 and 34, I believe the Holy Spirit wants you to know. But verse 33 and 34 says this about the reboot. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. And here's Jesus showing up. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Throughout all of that, let me ask you something. Where Israel falls short and where we fall short today, where did God say, you will in there? He never did. He said, I will. He will make it right. The question is whether we will surrender to it. What happens here is whenever you hear that phrase, anytime, if you know anyone who is Jewish, when they hear this phrase written on their hearts, there's a couple of places they're going to go. The first place they're going to go is to the Mosaic Covenant, where the finger of God wrote the Ten Commandments in front of Moses. The second place they're going to go is Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel, we'll be in Ezekiel hanging out next week, where God says, I will take your heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. That is where they will go. They go whenever you hear this. And so, in other words, when I say God has a plan for your life and God says, hey, this is the promise I have. When I bring you back to this place, who is to come is Jesus. When I bring you back, I will forgive your wickedness and I will know your sins no more. I don't know about you, but that's pretty freeing today. He says he's going to do the work. And so for each and every one of us, I want you to know not only does God have a plan for your life, many of us, I know you know the Lord. It's a great reminder today. If you're watching online and you don't, we're thankful you're here. The second thing is God wants a relationship with you. See, God has a plan for your life and God wants a relationship with you. See, God can't let injustice go. We know this. I could tell you this all day long. Why do some people go to church their whole life and never know Jesus? Why, when the sheep and goats are separated, they don't know who Jesus is? Because they've spent their whole life in the old covenant trying to fulfill the Ten Commandments, saving themselves, instead of understanding that God wants a relationship. He has done the work. Doesn't mean that you're lazy. Doesn't mean that you get it. It's that you and I could never push a rock up a hill enough to save ourselves. We could never do it. We can never have all the right answers. We can never memorize all the right scriptures. We can never have it all figured out to be made righteous. None of us can. But God said, I'm not going to quit with that. I'm going to make a way for you. And that's what we get to share with the world, is we get to share that God wants a relationship with you. That's why wherever you are right now, whenever you ask me any advice, I will say, what does Jesus say about it? Because it ain't about what I say. It's not about what I believe. It's not about what I lean on. It's what does Jesus say? And that's the answer. So today, what I want to share with you and be reminded for you today, remember, we're going to go back to the Mosaic Covenant, the Ten Commandments, in just a little bit. It's going to take me a minute to get there. I'm going to sing a song for you. I'm not going to sing a song, but I am going to tell you a story. I am going to tell you about how God has a plan for your life and how God wants a relationship with you and how it's played out in my life. And it's this. Many of you, I share things about me. Many of you have been with me in seasons, ups and downs, before we launched the Vine and even in the Vine. So I'm going to tell you something that many of you may or may not know today. All right, are you ready? My first unbroken memory in life is when I got my tonsils taken out when I was a kid. Okay? I have bits and pieces of my dad. They're not like most of this. I'll put it to you this way. Most of my dad I know from memories of someone else. Okay? My first memory is getting my tonsils taken out. Beginning to end. Let me tell you about taking my tonsils out. Pediatrics has come a long way, praise God. When it came to having my tonsils taken out, let me tell you something. Little three-year-old running around, screamed bloody murder going to the back, because obviously going into OR, you can't take anything with you. So I want you to know this. So my dad had just passed away, right? My dad had just been killed in December. I'm a kid, and I'm going to the OR, and there are three things that I can't carry with me, and I'm screaming bloody murder. In no particular order, they are my mom, my sister, and my blanket. Y'all know I'm Linus. Y'all know how it rolls. So it was my mom, my sister, they could not go to the OR. The problem was I kept having sinus issues. Still have them. Go figure. Many issues. You're going to understand why I push back on medical things here in just a second. But I did not want to go into that surgery. The clearest memory I have are the nurse just being a biddy, for lack of a better term, telling me how terrible of a child I was, how if I didn't shut up, I wouldn't go home today. Now, what she meant was I was probably going to have to stay to have surgery the next day. But what a child with separation anxiety and just gone through loss heard is I'm never going to see my family again. And so I'm punching, screaming, kicking, and what you don't remember is I remember going to the OR and them holding me down, all right? They had to hold me down to put the mask on. Crying with a mask on, I remember whimpering, and I remember whimpering coming out. Now, after that, I don't know if I just shut down or what happens, but after that, let me tell you why I'm sharing all this for you. It's going to make sense, I promise. After that, I got infected cuts. I had pus pockets where my tonsils were taken out. It got infected, and I didn't tell anyone because I was afraid I'd have to go back to the hospital. I didn't want to tell anybody. And there came a moment in time where, obviously, I had to do something because I couldn't even hold my head up. Like, I couldn't even walk. Now you know why I talked to a doctor about gallbladder coming out with a, give me some Novocaine or something. He's like, no, you got to have surgery. So, like, that kind of thing. Now you know why. So, every day in my life goes back to that stigma. All right, like, that is my first solid memory. We all have memories. I promise you, we're going somewhere with it. So we all have these memories that's the first solid memory that I have. So if you ever wonder about my separation anxiety or you wonder about things, the reason is I go back to that moment. Like that is where anytime I push back medically, I will tell you, for me, if I don't show my pain when I hurt, but if I'm showing it to you, it's probably something I'm bottled up enough that I just can't hide it anymore. Because I go back to that kid. That was there. We were having a birthday party for Olivia and Ben, my brother. That is when the crap hit the fan and they realized Tyler was sick because he didn't want to have anything to do. Now, little did they know about the cake issue at that time. Y'all know about the, don't be spitting on my cake. Y'all know about the cake issue at that time. Little did they know about that. That's where it is. So here's where I'm going with all of that. All the way through, that's kind of where I was. So it led to me going to church. And I'll be honest with you, as we went to church, my mom would take us to church, going to children's church. I've shared this before. I would not have gone into children's church if my sister had not gone with me. Now, remember, I had to take some things in the OR with me. Now, she's older than I am, and I will tell you, I would not have met Jesus as a child when I did if she wasn't in there with me. Because there's no way I would have went in there. I would have went into big church. And I would have just—it would have been craziness, right? It wouldn't have happened. Not that God doesn't work in His timing, and God doesn't have a plan. Remember, God has a plan for you, and God wants a relationship with you. So, that being said, I get to grow up. We get to be in this season. I'm going to fast forward a lot. There's a ton of ups and downs I've shared with you in my story, but through the loss of my mom, I will tell you, my mom. Probably didn't tell many people this, so I know this. My mom always said this one thing, because I know she struggled that day as well. And if you ever want to know how my sister and I have a close relationship, it'll make sense where I'm going with this. My mom rested in the fact, she said, if anything ever happens to me, if Olivia is alive, Tyler's going to be okay. Because that's like his second mother. Like, she's going to be fine. There aren't many people she told you that. If she did, it's because she considered you family or knew that I did. So all of you listening today know that you were my family because I'm telling you this. That is what my mother held on to, all right, in that loss. God has a plan for you, and God wants a relationship with you. So you know all of this. Those are just two crazy moments, but let me just paint this big whole picture for you, okay? When my dad was 4 days old, his dad died. My dad grew up with a memory of his father told by everyone else. My grandpa Hartzell was like 33, maybe 34. I'm older than him. I'm older than he was, all right? When he died, okay? So my dad grew up without his father. My Ma Seal did everything she could. She worked. She raised her family. Never remarried, okay? Never remarried, but did everything she could to point her kids to Jesus. Took a while for some time for it to take. My hard head, you can see where I get it. It took a while for it to take, but here's what happens. Many of you don't know this because I didn't grow up really with it this way, but maybe you do. My brother Benjamin, my sister Olivia, we're half brother and sister. So their mother passed away when my sister was less than 2 years old of lupus. God has a plan for you, and God wants a relationship. So understand this. So my brother's he's seven, going on eight, if it was two, if that's right. 79. She passed away, okay? My grandmother knows what it's like to raise kids without a spouse. My dad is now raising children without a spouse. My dad marries my mother. I am born. My dad gets killed by a drunk driver when I'm 2 years old, going on three, before the crazy doctors take out my tonsils. Man, if I could go back then and have GI issues, I would have crapped all over that place. I'm going to be honest with you. there wouldn't have been a clean room in that building. And I'm telling you, it goes all the way back. So when I have issues, that's why. So all of that to say, humor, I'll tell you more about humor in a minute. But all of that to say, so here we go. This is where this is going. Remember the two things I want you to know today. God has a plan for you, and God wants a relationship with you, okay? Understand this. So my dad marries my mother. My dad passes away. He gets killed by a drunk driver. And so, once again, think about this. My brother has seen both of his parents killed, but dead, not really killed. His mother passed away and his dad's killed. My sister had to grow up with the memories of her mother because she didn't, her memory, our brains reboot around 2 to 3. We don't really have great memories before then. That's the beauty of the gospel. And I grow up with the memories of my father from others because my brain has rebooted to not really know his memory. All right, so understand where we are. But who better for my mother to have in a family than my Ma Seal, who knows what it's like, that's had a spouse that's died unexpectedly with a 4-day old child, unexpectedly, and help her walk through that. Who better? You see, I'm sharing all of this to say there is no family that I should have been born into that could point me to Jesus like mine. Like I say, my sister Olivia and my brother Ben, Tim's basically my brother. I mean, it's grown up that way, but I would tell you, like, there's no better family for me to have been born into. The reason my sister and I have a bond, whether she, this is a spirit thing, a Holy Spirit thing, is because there is no one I know that had to grow up with the memory of their parent from others. They had to grow up not knowing their parent, but a memory of it. My brother saw both of his parents pass away. There's no one else that is my blood that I know that has lost both of their parents before the age of 40. He did it before he was even 20 years old, before he had graduated high school. There is no family that I could have been born in that would have more clearly pointed me to Jesus. None. You look at that in my life, the reason I'm sharing that with you and the reason I say that is so many times we question God, don't we? So many times we look back and say, God, man, I hate my family. I love their banana, but I hate them. Like, we get to that place, right? But I want you to know God has a plan for you. I'm living proof. He has a plan for you. There was no other way. There is no other family I could have been born into. There's none none, that I would have the connection I have to point to Jesus. And the same is true for you. You see, the issue for all of us, and that's just that is literally just a broad, big stroke I know today of this, and there's so many more. I know I have so many quirks and nuances and weirdness, but the reason I'm sharing that with you today is this. Some of us are today like Israel and don't believe God has a plan for us. We not believe God has a... It would be really easy for me to blame everybody for everything, wouldn't it? And you know where that would get me? On the path to hell. I would be AC/DC and Highway to Hell all day long, and I'd be in jail right now. Because it'd be everybody else's fault. Because I would not take responsibility for myself. You see, I had to grow up fast. There's no other way to do it. If you want to know why I laugh, if you want to know why the comedian tells jokes, it's because I know what pain feels like, and I would rather you laugh than feel with the same pain I have. That's what makes a comedian tick. That's why I laugh. That's why there's humor there. Why am I sharing this? God has a plan for you. See, many of us have been living our life like Israel. We think God doesn't have a plan for us. We think that God doesn't matter. We think God isn't real. And the problem is today, maybe the reason you struggle with that is you've closed yourself with something someone said about you, something someone did to you, or something that went off the rails in your life. You're like that nurse yelling at a kid who you know nothing about, who's just trying to get to his family. The kid that loves his mom, loves his sister, loves his blanket. I mean, at least give me a piece of silk, y'all. Jesus. Like, we couldn't get anything. Like, if you know anything, I have a blanket in a fire safe. If I ever have a kid, they're going to have the blanket. Because you know what would happen? My mom, really quick before we go back, my mom would be so excited because I would wear the silk out. There's no way. Finally, he's going to get rid of that security blanket. And here come my mom's silk. Just sewing it back up. Just sewing some silk back on it. She's just a happy little... Said, forget that. So I say all that to say, just some laughter we can have with that. But many of us today, maybe we've clothed ourselves in something someone said about us. That's where our identity's been. Instead of believing God has a plan for me, that person hurt me, and their hurt to me means more than what God has created me for and is saying to me in this moment. And what I believe God is reminding us of in Jeremiah 31 is He has a plan for us. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when your body doesn't know what's going on, even when your mind can't fathom it, He has a plan for you. I'm older than my grandfather and my father was. Two generations of men I have outlived. It is crazy. God has a plan for you. You may not understand it. It may not make sense, but God has a plan for you. Instead of being clothed in what that person said and what that person did, be clothed in Christ. That is what God is saying. Instead of wrapping yourself in your identity and the things of this world and the things that people do and say to you, clothe yourself in Christ. Know that in Christ, your sins are forgiven. You're forgiven of all of your sins, but more importantly, your life has meaning. It would be really easy, once again, for me to excuse everything I do and blame it on someone else, but I know that my life has a purpose. Because here's the thing. Every one of those people that passed away did all they could to point me to Jesus before they left. I shared that my mother's mother, my grandmother, wrote me about being in the church. When she passed away, I got it after she passed away. Tyler, give everything you have to the church because it's the only thing that matters. Everybody in my family pointed to Jesus. God has a plan for you, and you may be in a family that hates Jesus with every breath they have, and you're the only one who loves Him. God has a plan for you. He's going to use it because my daddy cried by his bedside for his sisters and brothers to know Him. To know Jesus. And he didn't get to see them all before he passed away. He gets to see them now. There's one left. He gets to see them now because they all met him after that. They all met Christ after that. God has a plan for you. God wants a relationship with you. See, the great thing is knowing you've got a plan and God's trying to tell you His plan for your life, but maybe you've rejected Him in this relationship. You want to hold on to a little part. Maybe you surrendered your life to Christ. Maybe you just believe Christ for forgiveness of your sin, but you've not surrendered to Him as Lord. And you say, God, I'm going to hang on to this. I'm going to hang on to this one thing. This person hurt me. Jesus, they cut me off at the red light this morning. I'm trying to get to church. You know, just trying to get to church today. Get mad at them. But we miss out God speaking to us. We can't clearly hear his plan if we don't first have a relationship. Judah, the nation of Judah, before Jesus comes, they go back from exile. Nehemiah comes, rebuilds the wall. The same wall that they would march Jesus out of and hang on a cross for us. The same wall. And it's because the Pharisees thought that they could still work their way to salvation. They forgot what Jeremiah said. Hey, you're going to go through this stupid, crazy season. Tragedy, loss, just overwhelming, just weeping and burden, and just burden. God has a plan for you. His promise is he's going to bring you back and make a new covenant with you. So we're going to look at something, and I want to say, instead of being clothed in those things, to be clothed in Christ, because Paul writes it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you ever read his letter to the Corinthian church, he says it this way for us. You probably know it by heart. I'm trying to make sure I memorize some things. I'm not always a perfect, but can get the gist. And Paul says it this way. As this reboot that we talk about. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. The old is gone. The old covenant is gone. In other words, Israel, Judah, you, me, we don't have to do the Ten Commandments because Jesus already did it for us. It doesn't mean that we don't live out love God, love others. It just means stop striving to do that and rest in him and know that your work comes from him. Your worth comes from him. So we're going to go back to a little bit to RAs and GAs and Awanas, if you know, or VBSs or backyard Bible clubs. I want to ask you a question because I said, hey, when the Jews were there and they heard, I will write my law on your heart, they go back to the Ten Commandments. So a really quick question, church. How many times did God write the Ten Commandments? Twice, right? Exodus 20 comes, we have the Ten Commandments, the finger of God comes down, the people at the bottom of the mountain say, we're tired of waiting on Moses, we've already waited in line, wages packed out to the gills, I got to go get me a yeast roll, I ain't got time for this. So they go, and they build a golden calf. Moses comes down in Exodus 32, and he sees, literally, the Ten Commandments. What is the second commandment? Do not make a carved image made out of a created thing, either on the earth or under the sea, to worship. And what ends up happening is Aaron's at the bottom of this hill, and people say, hey, we don't know where this Moses guy is, but he's lost his mind. He's like that Tyler guy preaching. He's lost his dang mind. We know he has. He ain't coming down. We hungry. We want to worship the God who brought us out of Egypt. And so Aaron goes, and he takes all, he said, give me your golden earrings, the very plunder that God gave Israel when he set them free from Egyptian slavery to remind them that he wanted to bless them and that he set them apart. They get together and Aaron molds this golden calf. It was a Chick-fil-A cow, I'm pretty sure. Like, he molded this calf together and Moses comes down in Exodus 32 and he sees the people are there and he throws the tablets to the ground in anger. They couldn't even hear the law before they broke it. They couldn't even get there before they broke it. And so God goes in Exodus 34 and he says, I will write these commandments again. I'll write them again for you. So Moses goes, he gets the tablets, he writes them again. Quick question, where were those tablets kept? Indiana Jones is the hint. In the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. You know, if I said Indiana Jones, it would go. Steven Spielberg pointed you to the gospel. You just didn't know it. Like, all the way through, it is what it is. It goes in the Ark of the Covenant. And what did the Ark of the Covenant represent? The power, the presence of God. The law in the hands of man was always broken. Broken. Moses broke it. But God said, in my presence, the law is fulfilled. That is what Jesus did for us. Think about that, church. God has a plan for you. God wants a relationship with you. In other words, he said, I will. You can't keep my law. It will be broken, but I will make a way that it will be fulfilled so that you can be in my presence. And church, through Christ Jesus, what do we have? The presence of God inside of us, dwelling inside of us. We are the church. We are the temple. We are what he works in and through to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. We are in his presence. So today, will we go out in these streets? What we get to share with the world is that God has a plan for you, even when it doesn't make sense. But most importantly, God wants a relationship with you. Because you'll spend your whole life carrying those tablets around. You can hang them up on the walls in your house. You can put them everywhere you want to. But the thing is, the law in your hands will always be broken. But in Christ's hands, it is fulfilled. And God said, if it is fulfilled through Christ, and we confess, repent of our sin, and trust that Jesus is who he says he is, and make him Lord of our life, he'll now write his law on our heart. And I don't know about you, but when something's on your heart, it burns. Jeremiah talks about this. We didn't even get to brush it throughout this series. He talks about when the word of God is on him, it is like a fire in his bones. He has to get out. That's what we get to share with the world. His law written on our heart. Written on our heart. So today, would you trust that God wants a relationship with you? In his presence, he's done the work. Christ has done the work for us. He was there before the foundations of the earth. He knew us. We celebrated that last week. Jeremiah 1:4-5. He knew us before we were born. He had a plan for us before the foundations of the world. So much that he wanted to be in a right relationship with us. And so for some of us today, maybe today's the day you lay down what you've been hanging on. You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you've been hanging on this one thing, that thing that somebody says, that thing that you're clothed with. Would you lay that down today? We're going to open the door for those to come to the faith for the first time in just a moment, but as we worship in just a little bit, we have to be reminded of who Jesus is. Would we just lay it down, like lay it down in thanksgiving, lay it down in worship. Know that all the way through that, He is the fulfillment of what we couldn't do. He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. God loved us enough that he didn't just say, hey, you go work your way to me. He said, I will come to you and I will do the work. You just have to make the choice. Just like Judah, you have to make the choice. You see, for the rest of us, we have to understand when it comes to that choice, that God doesn't impose his will upon us, but he offers the opportunity to open the door. Romans 5:8 reminds us of this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet like Judah, living in brokenness, living in sin with our back turned to God, God still made a way for us. The question is, will we choose to walk in it or not? He can't make that choice for you. I can't make that choice for you. I want to point you to Christ in all that I do, but I can't make that decision for you. I could tell you stories and make you laugh. I could tell you stories that make you cry. But the one thing that my life will reflect is that God wants a relationship with you through his son, Jesus Christ, and he's got a plan for you. Will you just surrender to it? So with every head bow and every eye closed today, we pray out loud for the benefit of those coming to faith as a family. Because the one thing that we all love is family. I'm going to tell you, I share some people in my story that I didn't get to meet this side of eternity, and I can't wait. I can't wait to get up there, and I can't wait for them to tell funny stories about me getting ready for church on Sunday morning that y'all don't know about. And for the rest of us, we're going to pray out loud as a family for all of us, like I said. This prayer, it's not the words of this prayer that saves you, it's the faith. What you are praying is that Jesus is going to reboot your life. That Jesus, see, here's the thing. We think we have the power to shut down this computer that is our life, and we don't. We can only accept the reboot. We can only accept the upgrade from the Holy Spirit. We can only accept the reboot from the way that we were living to turn us right to the right way, and that is called repentance. And so what we are praying in this prayer is we are confessing and repenting. We are confessing that Jesus is who he says he is, that he fulfilled the law. He lived the perfect sinless life we couldn't live. He made us righteous, which put us in right standing with God, the thing, our very creator, the thing that we are searching for, that right standing with God. And he died on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins so that we didn't have to pay it ourselves. And he loved us enough that he didn't stay dead. He left an empty tomb so that we could live the life we were created to live now, because we have the Holy Spirit in us, molding, shaping us, guiding us, helping us be who we were created to be. That's what we're praying in this prayer. So with every head bow and every eye closed, please repeat this prayer out loud after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life, I couldn't live. Die the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, if you're online, in the house, wherever you are, we're going to count to three. We're going to ask you to respond. If for the first time you have surrendered your life to Christ, would you raise your hand? One, two, three. If you have for the first time, so maybe you're watching on, hey, maybe you're listening throughout the week. If you're watching online, put that raised hand emoji, type me in there, whatever that is. If you're listening throughout the week, reach out to us. You can reach out to us in the app, reach out to us at hello@thevine.tv. We want to celebrate this decision with you because the reason we do what we do is to point to Jesus so that this first step can be taken. And I want to tell you, it's not about us gaining church membership or us trying to grow our numbers. It's about us getting you in connection with the local church around the world, a church right where you are, so that you can grow and mature in the faith and be all that Jesus created you to be. And for the rest of us, as we worship, would we just be happy in thanksgiving? Would we bring joy and thanksgiving to the Lord to say, Lord, I'm no longer clothed in the things of this world. I'm no longer clothed in what that person said, what that person did, how that person treated me. I'm clothed in you, Christ. And I'm here to live out the plan you have for your life, for my life, excuse me, because you gave your life for it. Would you stand and sing? Thank you. for being with us today. If nothing else you get from today, I shared with you the first memory and how Jesus has redeemed it. Because see, the security of my blanket couldn't save me. The safety of being in my mom's or my sister's arms couldn't save me. But they did everything they could to point me to Christ. That's what we get to share with the world, church. Let's do that. Let's share it. Let's share him with everyone. Because here's the thing the world is searching for. It is the hope of the gospel. Right now, people are looking for the hope of inflation reduction, the hope of a gas bill going down, the hope of energy prices, the hope of a politician who isn't going to do anything for you. We serve more than a politician. We get to serve the risen King, and that's what we get to share. And we would love to share it with you. Come hang out with us next week, online, in the house. In the house, we've got free diabetes. We even make it somewhat healthy. So if you want to join us, we would love to do that as we dive into Ezekiel and continue summer in the prophets. Have an awesome week, and always remember, the best is still yet to come.